So this morning, well, I don't have a chocolate bar, and you probably already know because Ruth's alluded to it, but it is Palm Sunday. It is what I like to call, and if there's a title for my message this morning, it's called The Week Before. And we know what the week before is because we know what next week brings. So you might be wondering why I've put palm fronds along the place. And no, we're not expecting Jesus to turn up on a donkey and ride through the... Well, you just don't know. He might do. But no, we're not expecting that. But no, today is Palm Sunday. It's a day that marks the triumphal entry of Jesus Christ into Jerusalem. On this day, we remember how the people of Jerusalem welcomed Jesus with palm branches and shouts of Hosanna, or Hosanna, depending on what language or lingo you use, as he rode into the city on a colt or on a donkey. So Matthew 21, verse 1 to 11, if you've got your Bibles, I'm sorry I don't have it on the screen, but I will read from my notes, and if you've got your Bible, Matthew 21, 1 to 11. Now, when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethpage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, 'Behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden.'" Or the foal of a beast of burden. The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They bought a donkey and the colt, and put their cloaks on, the donkey and the colt, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from trees and spread them on the road too. And the crowds that went before him and followed him were shouting, "Hosanna, the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." In some traditional churches, they said, "Thus saith the word of the Lord." The Bible account, or the biblical accounts of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, are actually found in all four Gospels, which is quite a rarity to find the same account. And they're all very similar. So all accounts actually are very, very similar with, they recount a very singular event. There's a tiny bit of subtlety between each description, but it's quite interesting that all four books actually wrote about the same entry the same way as well. And no, they didn't write the books together. They were quite spread apart too. So Jesus and his disciples, they were actually, before this happened, they were on the road to Jericho. And if anybody's been to been to that part of the world, or to Jerusalem, you'd know that it's about 17 miles from Jericho to Jerusalem. And the pathway back then was quite treacherous. It was quite hilly and up. And, you know, if you're walking, I don't know, I always like to vision myself walking in the shoes of those in the past and go, right, I'm in a cloak, I've got sandals on, and it's quite rocky. And if you've been to that part of the world, which we haven't, but we've been to other parts in the Mediterranean, it's pretty rugged, and you're crossing over some dirt, and they must have been pretty shattered and exhausted by the time they got there. But, you know, I would say that by this point in Jesus' ministry, most of his disciples actually learned to do as they were told. So the two men, when Jesus said, "Right, we're here, now I want you to go there and go get a donkey," they said, "Why didn't you get us a donkey beforehand? We could have got on, walked up with the hill with a donkey, but never mind." So the two men went, and they did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, and they placed their cloaks on him, and Jesus sat on the donkey. And that's in Matthew 21, 6 to 7. However trivial this errand may have seemed to us or to the disciples, it was full of biblical and theological significance. It demonstrated that Christ had come to be the king. As Matthew explains, this took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet, "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." That was the prophet Zechariah. The people of Israel had always understood Zechariah's prophecy to refer to the Messiah, to God's anointed king. So back then, even though Zechariah's prophecy was hundreds or whatever many years beforehand, the Jews knew of the prophecy throughout their lives because they learned it. And when they understood that this prophecy is referring to God's anointed king. The prophet said, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The English teacher's correcting me. Zechariah, it's my accent, okay? Anyway, when Jesus mounted the donkey, and it was not just a donkey, but specifically a purebred colt, as Zechariah had promised, he was presenting himself as Israel's promised king. By his actions, he was saying to the people then, "Behold, your king is here. Your king is coming to you." That would have thrown the entire town in turmoil if you think about it back then. The Jews knew their scripture, and many people in the crowd would have remembered those words of Zechariah and recognized what Jesus was doing. They would have recognized the symbolism of what he was doing to the crowd. Some of them may have even remembered that when Solomon became king, Israel's king, he was presented on a donkey of his father David, and that's in 1 Kings 1, 38 to 39. One clue that the people of Jerusalem recognized this connection is that when they saw Jesus riding on the donkey, they said, "Hosanna to the Son of David." In any case, by using that particular title, they were acclaiming Jesus to be the rightful king. They recognized that he had come in the name of the Lord. Although it is often overlooked, there's actually an even older prophecy that explains why Jesus entered on the donkey. I do have a chocolate bar if anybody can tell me that one. We have a retired minister in the room. No. Anyway, long before Zechariah, Jacob actually pronounced this blessing on his son Judah. "The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until it comes to whom it belongs, and the obedience of nations is his. He will tether his donkey to a vine, his colt to the choicest branch." In Genesis 4, verse 10. Jacob's prophecy meant that Israel's true king would come from the tribe of Judah, and that in some way he would be associated with the colt of a donkey. What is only hinted at in Genesis, though, was made plain in the Gospels later, thousands of years later. Jesus, the son of David, from the tribe of Judah, who rode into Jerusalem as Israel's rightful king. Nice little history lesson there. Yeah. So, if Jesus is the king, then all of his loyal subjects must recognize his kingship. And that's us. We need to recognize his kingship. The Jews did this by calling him Son of David, and also by spreading their cloaks on the floor before him. This was an ancient custom that the people threw down their garments and they made a carpet like a royal procession. So rather than a nice red carpet, they threw their cloaks down, and that was the custom of the time. I don't think we'd want to do that today, would we? No. So we recognize his sovereignty by laying our hearts before him, by throwing down our will in absolute surrender, and asking Jesus to govern everything we say and everything that we do. And so I think later we're going to get into some more praise and worship, because that's us surrendering and throwing down our garment in praise and worship of God. So, what is the significance of Palm Sunday? And what can we learn from it? So Palm Sunday reminds us of the humility of Jesus. Although he was the Son of God, he did not come to earth to be served, but to serve. By riding on a donkey, he demonstrated his humility and his willingness to identify with the common people. He didn't ride into Jerusalem like a conquering king or like a conquering soldier, which is what the Jews actually expected back then. They expected their savior to come riding in on a big white horse with battle shields and saying, "Go Romans," and all the other things. No, he came in humbleness. He did not come in as a conquering king on a war horse, but he came as a peaceful leader, bringing hope and salvation to all those that would receive him. Palm Sunday reminds us of the importance of worship. The people of Jerusalem welcomed Jesus with shouts of Hosanna. I wish we had that song, but not today. Hosanna, which means save us now. Save us now. It's also a cry and a shout of praise and adoration towards our God and our Savior. They recognized Jesus as their Savior and their King, and they worshipped him with great joy and with great enthusiasm. The palm branches used during the celebrations, or from the biblical account, which describes the crowd spreading palm branches out on the road as Jesus entered Jerusalem. And the palm branches are actually symbols of victory and of triumph, which is fitting for the occasion, right? Quite fitting. As Jesus was hailed as the King and conqueror by all the crowds. Now, I don't know who's got palm branches at home, but they weren't very easy to come by. We've got a big palm tree and they're very, very, very tall. So during the week, I rang a friend who's an arborist and I said, listen, I need some palm branches for church. And he goes, what do you want palm branches for? So I just want to make a nice little decoration at the church. And I didn't ring anybody here, sorry. And so he said, look, you should have rung me about an hour early. I've just dumped them all at the dump. So I went looking, hunting for palm branches, and I'm sitting in my office, and at the corner of my eye, there's a bit of an area car park, and then there was a bank that goes up on, I'm not going to name the address in case the authorities catch me. Anyway, so I've caught out of my eye, and I see three palm trees, and they're only little, they're about my height. I'm going, it's in the bush, it doesn't belong to anybody, so surely I could get some palm branches. So I went up there on Thursday afternoon, and I was like, right, I'm going to try. Now, the next thing I didn't use was the lovely brain that God gave me. I went to go and get the palm branches. And as I pulled down, they don't rip. So I had cuts all through my fingers and hands of trying to rip a palm branch down. And I thought, right, I can't do this. So I got up crack of dawn on Friday. I said to Ruth, I need to go to work early so I can send all these other work off. But I didn't tell her I was cutting palm branches. So I turned up before all the tradies turned up. It was still pretty, the sun was just coming through. And I ran up the bank of my sick of tears and I snipped the palm branches down. Anyway, I don't believe they belong to anybody. If they do, I apologize. So yeah, palm branches, hey? So Palm Sunday reminds us of the sacrifice of Jesus. As we read in the Gospels, Jesus knew that he was riding into Jerusalem to face his death. He knew that he would be betrayed. He knew that he would be arrested. And he knew that he ultimately would be crucified. And yet, he still willingly went to the cross. He went bearing the sins of the world on his shoulders so that we will have forgiveness and we will have eternal life. It marks the beginning of our Holy Week. I think a few weeks ago when I was preaching on Jesus, we said, you know, this account, if it didn't occur, our faith is null on Easter Sunday. So this is the start of us celebrating our Holy Week. And if you're like me and you love to see what's going on all around the world, there's celebrations from today all the way through till next Monday across the globe. And it's amazing how different cultures celebrate. I think the most extreme I've ever seen is the Filipino culture. If you watch how they celebrate Palm Sunday and all of that, it's pretty extreme. They actually have guys that get their nails put to the cross themselves. It's pretty intense. But it's all in celebration of what Jesus did. So it marks the beginning of our Holy Week, leading up to Easter Sunday. It reminds us of the hope that we have in Jesus. As the people of Jerusalem look to Jesus as their Savior and their King, we too can look to him for our salvation and our hope. Because of his sacrifice on the cross, we have the promise of forgiveness. We have the promise of reconciliation with our Creator. And we have the promise of eternal life in his presence. I'm going to ask the band to come up because this morning is about us, you know, beginning our Holy Week in worship of our God. And so this morning, we're entering into a new week. Sunday marks the day of the new week. And this morning, I really want to encourage us, you know, if you want to spread yourselves out in the room, you're welcome to do that. If you want to stay where you are, you're welcome to do that. But this morning, let us offer up our worship and how you see fit to do that, because you're worshiping your Creator this morning. Offer your worship to Jesus. Recognize him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen.